From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
The Privy Council overturns the conviction of one of Jamaica's death row inmates. A Caribbean national is involved in the ongoing religious cult siege in Waco, Texas, and Haiti's delegates at the UNHRC appeal for the restoration of democracy in their country. I'm Mike Jarvis, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. The Privy Council today quashed the conviction of two of Jamaica's death row inmates. Joel Shaw and Michael Beckford were sentenced to death in 1986 for the murder of a pimento dealer. Under the recent review of the status of death row inmates, Shaw and Beckford had been reclassified as capital murderers. Earlier today, I spoke with their British attorneys, Craig Monty, Saul Lefroyd, and Jennifer McDermott, who took the cases to the Privy Council. First, I asked Saul Lefroyd, what did the Privy Council base its ruling on?
The Privy Council ruled that the trial judge initially did not make a satisfactory warning on the identification evidence, which was made by Alvin Bell, and Mr. Bell was the sole witness who saw the crime.
To Craig, I take it that the outcome of this case is of some significance.
Well, the significance of this case, as far as identification evidence is concerned, is that the Privy Council has reconfirmed in no uncertain terms that where there is a conviction or there is a case based predominantly or solely on identification evidence, a very careful warning has to be given to the jury by the trial judge. This has previously been the case. The Privy Council has taken the opportunity to reconfirm that. And in this case, sadly, the trial judge had not given an adequate warning, and the Court of Appeal had failed to rectify that.
But I take it that one of the key points during that case was the issue of a person who was regarded as an unreliable witness.
It was indeed, and I think this was one of the problems for the trial judge and for the Court of Appeal. Alvin Bell, the eyewitness concerned, did have a history of mental illness. He had spent some time in a mental hospital. And there was also a suggestion in relation to Michael Beckford that he actually owed Mr. Bell some money, and that might have been a reason for Mr. Bell telling lies on him. Notwithstanding that the Privy Council has decided that this appeal should be allowed, that there still are some formalities which have to be gone through, namely that Her Majesty, the Queen, has to accept the recommendation of their lordships when next she meets in council, that there could there be some delay, perhaps of 2 or 3 weeks, before the prisoners will actually be released. There is some fear for the safety of the prisoners during this 2 or 3 week period, so we're anxious to do all we can to protect their position.
Now, is there any connection here between the challenges to the reclassification process and the clients that you are representing?
Joel Shaw and Michael Beckford were both reclassified as capital offenders. Now, of course, in the light of the Privy Council decision, they should be released and the classification should fall. But it just shows that if the prisoners hadn't been able to come to the Privy Council here in London, they would have been facing capital classification back home in Jamaica.
But then I'm taking it that you would have challenged the reclassification of the
clients. Yes, this is being challenged at the moment through a constitutional motion. While that constitutional motion goes ahead, the classification procedure is frozen. We hope that the Jamaican courts, and perhaps it'll ultimately come to the Privy Council, will say that the whole classification procedure has to be scrapped because it's unconstitutional. If it doesn't, if that isn't the ultimate result of the constitutional motions, then we would be challenging the capital reviews anyway.
Jennifer McDermott. A Jamaican woman, reportedly one of the followers of U.S. religious cult leader Vernon Howell, is said to be caught up in the ongoing standoff with U.S. law enforcement officials in Waco, Texas. The woman, who has not been named, had lived in North London with her Guyanese-born husband until a few months ago. She had left Britain with her teenage daughter to join the cult. No details have been given as to how she became a member of the group, which is believed to have about 75 members from different parts of the world. Her husband, whose name has only been given as Mr. Nobriega, is a heating engineer. Today he was flown to Texas by a British daily newspaper, which will have exclusive rights to his story. In Waco, he is expected to be reunited with his daughter, who has been released. A memorial service was held today for Jamaican pollster Carl Stone. Gary Allen takes a look at the career of one of the first regional academics to carve a niche for political science in the Caribbean.
Carl Ebenezer McDougall Stone, who was born on June 3, 1940, in St. Elizabeth, southwestern Jamaica, died on Friday, February 26 of cancer. Stone gained a Bachelor of Science degree from the University of the West Indies, then a Master of Arts degree before he attained a doctorate in the shortest possible time of study at the University of Michigan in the United States. He returned to the UWI in 1970 as lecturer and became well known for his penetrating analytical lectures in which he challenged many of the ideas of the day, in the process becoming one of the leading thinkers in the West Indian academia. In 1982, he was appointed a professor of political sociology at the UWI, the first such appointment in this field at the regional university. However, it was for his brilliant political polling career that he was best known. This after he accurately predicted the results of every election held in Jamaica since 1976. His act in this